you, Chris. Good morning. Most of us, if not all of us, have been to funerals before, and there is one overlying theme that consistently arises. Through the sadness, there is the confident hope he's in a better place now. Have you ever been the one who's thinking, this person is in hell, that's a billion times worse than here? No, we try not to think those things, even when it's true, right? We try not to think like that, but as Christians, that's because there is within each of us a hope for humanity. There is within each of us a hope that the mercy of God is overshadowing everything else. To hope for the best and pray for mercy of God is one thing. However, we tend to have a misplaced hope that God will not exact judgment on what He specifically told us He would exact judgment on. We have to be careful with that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. We're told here, it says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Aside from the clear warnings from God to avoid the everlasting destruction, many people still turn a blind eye. And unfortunately, many people, even within the church, refuse to accept that although God is merciful, He is also just and will keep His promise. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3, Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3 may be seem like an obscure passage, but Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." When we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10 that we just read, we look at it as just another verse to help us to live right. We may miss that is a promise concerning the return of the Lord. When the roll is called up yonder, we just sang it. When the roll is called up yonder, what is that talking about? They're going to call us home. Okay, so according to that verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, if we look at it, we're going to miss the promise that's concerning the Lord's return. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have no idea when He will return, but it will come as unexpected as the flood of Noah. Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. If you look at this passage, Luke chapter 17, verse 26 through 30, Jesus here speaking says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Okay? So it sounds like life was progressing as normal as could be in those times. He gives two illustrations here. And in one instance, all the people of four cities, we always look at Sodom and Gomorrah, but Admah and Zoibim was also destroyed, and some people believe that there was another city destroyed, but I don't think it was. It doesn't really tell us that. But in this instance, all the people of four cities were destroyed with fire and brimstone. I don't know how big the cities were. Were they the size of Natalia? They could have been. They could have also been the size of San Antonio. If you imagine four cities the size of San Antonio destroyed and all the people there, everything that was left there, everything that was ever there, destroyed. They say that the area where Sodom and Gomorrah and those other two cities, those cities about them were destroyed, was where the Dead Sea is now. So we don't know how big it was, but we know it was a lot. They may have been big cities, but we have no idea. These people, nevertheless, had no idea of the destruction that was coming. That's interesting to think about that. They had no idea of the destruction that was coming. In fact, if you think about it, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and those other two cities destroyed with them probably believed that they were experiencing the end of the world. This is the end. You think about it, it was certainly the end as much as they knew it. Have you ever sought shelter from a hailstorm? They often come without warning. We know it won't last long. If we can just find some place to ride it out. You ever been in a hailstorm and it starts to let up? And like, oh, I think it's letting up. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. And it gets harder and harder and harder. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it just starts, trees start blowing down. We've been through some of those. Most of us have been through storms like that. We run or we drive for cover. We pray it in soon. I've been down the highway before where you couldn't pull over under an overpass because there was so many cars already there. There was no room for any more cars to fit under an overpass trying to get out of a storm. But those storms passed. These people weren't hiding from hailstones. It was raining fire and brimstone. Can you see the people of Sodom and Gomorrah crouching down under the protection of their homes or their tents, praying that it would end soon, only to experience the wrath of God rain down on them in the form of fire or stones on fire, if you will? Webster defines brimstone as simply sulfur. I thought that was interesting. Imagine stones of fire raining down from heaven, mingled with the wailing and moaning of the dying, and mixed with the smell of sulfur and burning flesh. Not a pretty picture, right? This is what these people experienced. They went through this. They died in it. They didn't get through it. They died there in that. The other instance of this passage is that of Noah. But this one is much closer to what we are experiencing today, in that they had warning that the end was coming. The end didn't happen. The world didn't end, so to speak. But they had a warning. Noah had been preaching to them for years, yet they ate, they drank, they celebrated marriages, and when the end came for them, they were still caught off guard. Noah preached to them and preached to them and preached to them. They were still caught off guard. They'd never seen rain before. I said, how many of you have been caught in a storm? Everybody kind of, yeah, we have. They had never seen rain before. It had never rained. The earth was watered a different way at that time. But Noah had been preaching to them. Have you ever sought shelter from a rainstorm? Well, I have never met a single soul who has ever experienced fire and brimstone. I don't believe I know anyone who hasn't been in a rainstorm at one time or another. Pouring rain. Many of us have experienced flooding, the type of flooding that takes lives and washes away houses and washes away lives. I can only imagine the people running for shelter when the rains came during the days of Noah, only to find that they wouldn't stop. The rains kept going. They kept coming and kept coming until the rains had filled up. I know that I can pull in my driveway and say, hey, it rained. It didn't rain in Hondo. I come to Divine and I go through Divine. It's rained here a little bit. I get to my house. Usually it's dry, but sometimes I get there. It's rained at my house too. And you know what? I don't even have to look at the gauge. I can tell by how much water is standing in the driveway or has been standing in the driveway as to whether we got any sufficient rain or not. Sometimes I come in, I got to back up and look at that gauge because there's so much water in the driveway. We got a lot of rain. Imagine these people never felt rain before, and now it's raining so much. What is this stuff? I don't know, but I'm getting tired of it. First, you see them running around. You ever see little kids running around in the rain, or even adults singing in the rain, so to speak, playing in the rain? They're playing in the rain for a while. After a while, it gets old. We had enough of this. Okay, stop. Even us right now as adults, Lord, bring us rain. Our crops are dry. Our yards are drying up. Everything's dry. Bring us rain. And then it comes, and it comes, and it comes. Lord, stop. please stop, we're drowning over here. But come on, give us a break. Imagine those people in the days of Noah, the rain started coming, it gets up to their ankles. Okay, what are we going to do? Seek high ground. Everybody goes to higher and higher ground. I was been in a rainstorm before at a youth camp when I was a kid, and they took us all out of our dorms and moved us up into a nursing home that was up on the hill. All these kids in there, those old people love that. Here it comes, 300 little kids come running up into this nursing home, get away from the rain, and the rain came up and covered all the dorms where we were. We would have been drowned if we'd have stayed there. Okay, so this is the kind of rain that's coming. It's coming. It keeps going. Well, it doesn't stop there. They're on top of their houses in the rain. The waters are coming up. Now what do? They hang on to the top of the house until they're all the way up. They finally got to let go and float off. But it doesn't stop there either. It keeps going until everything, the whole planet is covered in water. I bet they're thinking that Noah guy was pretty sharp after all. We thought he was a nut. Now look at him. Well, kept going, it kept going, it kept going. I'm sure they all thought the world was coming to an end too. And it certainly was, as close as eight souls. Those that were saved by Noah and the ark. According to soundvision.com, there are nearly 6,200 weddings per day in the United States. That seems like a big number considering how many people are living in sin and fornication. But that's the number, 6,200 weddings per day in the U.S. According to RTS.com, the world wastes about, think about this, the world wastes about 1.4 billion tons of food every year, with the United States discarding more food than any other country in the world, with nearly 40 million tons a year going to landfills. In fact, some states have actually implemented laws about throwing food away that they have to go through recycling stations to put that food somewhere else other than the landfills because it's filling them up. The United States accounts for 40% of the amount that the United States wastes is about 40% of the total food in the United States. We waste about 40% of our food. So it doesn't take long to look around and see that we are obsessed with food in the United States. And the reason I bring this up and bring this in, you think, where is this preacher going off topic here? I'm staying on topic because we're eating and we're drinking, we're marrying. The truth is that we have a lot in common with those people of Noah's day and those people of Sodom and Gomorrah's day. But eating, drinking, and getting married and living life as it is, it was not their problem. It's not our problem today. The problem is complacency. They were complacent. He brings that to light. He said they were eating, drinking, acting like nothing was going on. They didn't even realize this destruction that was coming upon them because they were just haphazardly going around on life like nothing. They had no idea what was lurking in the shadows. In both of those instances, their problem was that sin was running rampant and the level of evil that people were willing to accept and even celebrate was unfathomable. Sounds just like the people of today. The amount of sin that and evil that people are willing to accept and celebrate blows your mind. So where do we go from here? For one, we need to be ready to face the tribulation because Jesus said it was coming. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you may have, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So we have the thought of the overlying thought that we have peace within Jesus, but even though there's tribulation in the world. If we're not expecting tribulation, we're going to be in for a shock. Just like those people of Noah's day, just like those people of Sodom and Gomorrah's day. They weren't ready and we're not ready either. We seldom look at that. We think if somebody's sitting there touting and screaming and shouting about the world is coming to an end, the world is coming to an end. This guy's nuts. This guy's, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in our life. Most people, for the most part, if you got really down in the nit and gritty part of their lives, you would find that they don't believe that the coming of the Lord is going to come in their lifetime. It's not going to happen. I've only talked to one man ever that I ever knew that said, "I really, really, really hope it comes in my lifetime. I just want it to come in my lifetime." He said, "I want to be part of it. Maybe I can direct traffic or something. I don't know. I just want to be part of it." For the most part, people just try to avoid it. They don't want to talk about it much. It's like, yeah, I got an idea. I mean, it's been this many years. It's probably not going to happen in my lifetime, right? So we think about that. We're in for a shock if we don't think it's coming. It may surprise you that many people have no clue how bad things can get here because most of us have never experienced even a smidgen of what can happen when the good goes bad. We live in Saudi. We were throwing away that much food in our country. Most of us don't know how bad it can get when the good goes bad. America was involved in a civil war. The North and South were divided politically and for the most part religiously. Fortunately, the Restoration Fathers were very, very wise, and they were smart enough to stand firm on what the Bible teaches in the churches of Christ during that time, during that Restoration time, during the time of the 1860s when the Civil War was about. And they spoke up with a voice. They brought a voice out that kind of helped the churches of Christ, the people of the churches of Christ, period, to understand and to not divide. And so they stayed together for the most part, where others divided. You ever heard of the Southern Baptist? That's where that name comes from. Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist. Came from the Civil War. They split up, the North and the South. Look it up. I guarantee you that's where it came from. Fortunately, as I mentioned, the Church of Christ remained somewhat neutral because of those forefathers teaching the truth on what the Bible teaches about slavery, and which is what that war was the biggest part of. The effects of war, however, ravaged the land with extreme prejudice. Soldiers on one side would find the wife and kids of the enemy from the other side, and they would pull them aside, take them out of their house, and they'd burn down their house. They'd light their crop on fire. What they didn't take, they'd kill their animals and take them for their own food. They'd kill everything in there and leave them there. And so you have a wife and five little kids standing here with a pile of ashes and nothing to feed them with. The clothes on their backs is all they get away with. And the soldiers ride off. And when the husband of that wife finds out that his farm's been burned down and his wife and kids are digging through the rubble to find something to eat, he leaves his post and goes home to take care of his family. And so it was a nasty, miserable war. It was terrible. Okay, so the war lasted for 4 years, and it left the South a literal wasteland and ruined roads, railroads, bridges, factories, houses, and farms. According to Battlefield.org, more than 620,000 men died in the Civil War. That's more than any other war in American history. Not more than all of them combined, more than any other war in American history. The Civil War. Sounds like something from the Bible lands, right? No, that's Texas. That's right here. That's us. That's our land right here we're talking about. They were fighting for Natalia. They were fighting for Floresville. They were fighting for Fowlerton. They were fighting for Lytle, Divine, for this land right here where we're at. That's what they were fighting for. That's what they died for. 620,000 men died. And some estimates say it was as much as 720,000. Right here in Texas, along with 10 other states. We hear a lot of things like, it's time for a revolution, or we need another civil war. That's what we need. These statements may sound like they would solve the country's political problems, and they might. That might be exactly what we need, and that might be exactly what we're headed for. However, it's only an eagerly acceptable plan because there is no one still living who remembers how dreadful those times were to tell us about it. We look at the history books, and you got to look it up. You got to really go and dig to do it. And most people don't do that. They don't have time for that. We're doing other things. We got too much on our plate to go back and look at that and see, is this really what we want? Do we really want a revolution? Do we really want this? While I too have heard a lot of talk about secession and civil uprising, I've not heard much about being ready for the Lord's return. I've heard a lot about let's separate Texas from the rest of the United States. We'll fight. We got more guns than the whole country. Let's fight. We can do this. I don't hear much about, let's stand up for the return of Jesus. Let's pray for the return of Jesus. Let's fight for the return of Jesus. Let's go out and bring souls to the kingdom for the return of Jesus. Let's be ready because it's coming. In the book of Acts, we're given the account of when Jesus ascended back to heaven, Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, as Jesus was going to, he was resurrected, he was going into heaven. This is what we're looking at, Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus rose up and he's coming back. He's going to return. He's going to return. Is it going to come today? Tomorrow? When? We don't know. He's coming back, brethren. It will not be to set up a 1,000-year reign. It will not be to give people a chance to make things right. You're not going to get a second, oh, Jesus is here. Hey, Lord, let me get this right. Let me straighten this up. It's not going to be that. That's not what it's for. It won't be to snatch one person and leave another one behind. That's a false doctrine. Don't buy into it. It's not going to happen. It won't be to set up an earthly kingdom. It will be to take back the kingdom that he's already set up and those that are his, and the rest will be thrown into the fire. That's what it's about. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 and 42. We need to be ready for that coming, and we need to look for it eagerly. Not eagerly in that we need to be anxiously awaiting for it and just sit down. I want to get my seat and I'm going to sit here and do nothing. We need to bring as many souls as we can because it's coming. Fill them up. If there was a tornado coming to your town and you knew it and somebody called you from the other town and said, tornado just wiped out my house, my neighbor's house is headed your way. What are you going to do? All right, don't tell nobody. Just get us. As long as I got my family safe. No, you're going to go tell everybody. Sound the alarm. You're going to get on the phone. You're going to start calling people. Tornado's on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way. People died over in this other town. We need to let them know. It's coming. Let everybody know. The gospel is the same way. We need to let people know that Jesus is coming, because when he comes, those that are not, that are unprepared will be cast into eternal fire. They need to know that. We need to let them know that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You think there was wailing and gnashing of teeth when the flood came? You think there was wailing and gnashing of teeth when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? What do you think that wailing is going to be about? I'll tell you what it will be. It will be the regretful cries of the burning lost who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. It will be the bone-chilling screams of those wishing they had just been ready for the Lord's return, as the Bible has said. It's a morbid thought when you think about that. And a lot of times you say, I don't want to talk about those things. Let's not talk about that. That's bad. I don't want to talk about those things. Do you think the time for the Lord's return today is nearer than those people thought in our past history? We probably haven't thought much about it. However, if you think about this, every day after Jesus ascended that we just saw in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, every day after he ascended, we're one day closer to his return. And now in 2021, that's 2021 years closer than we were that day. How much tribulation do you think they faced during the American Revolution of the 1770s? Think about it. Lots of tribulation. Or what about the Civil War of the 1860s that I just mentioned? How much tribulation? A mama and her baby's digging through the ashes of the smokehouse trying to find little pieces of sausage from the smoke that they smoked last winter so they can live? That's a lot of tribulation. How about World War I? Do you think they prayed for the return of the Lord during that time? World War II, 1940s. Korean War, 1950s. Vietnam, 60s, late 60s, early 70s. Desert Storm, 1991. During all of these times, there was turmoil, death, and destruction. Maybe not all of them here on our homeland, but it was there. Humans being killed by humans, God's creation. God's creation killing God's creation. You don't think it's happening today? It's happening all over the world. God's creation killing God's creation. Are you really expecting the Lord's return? Remember what Jesus told the apostles, Mark chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. Mark chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Every Sunday, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do so in remembrance of the Lord's death until he comes again. 1 Corinthians 11:26. We do that. Why do we do that? In remembrance of his death until he comes again. Even though we do this every week, I believe we have actually put the return of the Lord so far into the back of our minds that we don't actually believe it will ever happen in our lifetimes. Consider this. Is your patience wearing thin with the sinfulness of this country? Is your patience wearing thin with the sinfulness of the world in general? Are there places in this world that you would never go because the evil is so bad. Are there places right here in our country that you would not venture to go into because the evil is so bad? Are there places you would never let your wife go alone because the evil is so bad? I had a guy tell me the other day, he came in and he said, I can walk out my door to the end of my sidewalk and turn left, and two blocks down I can see the river, the border. He said, I can see the river. He said, a woman cannot cross that border. She cannot go down there. It doesn't matter her age, her weight, her size, her shape, her color. It doesn't matter. A woman cannot go down there. She will be attacked. It doesn't matter. I am right there. I've been there my whole life, and a woman can't go there. It's a bad place. I've never been down there, and he tells me things that I can't imagine. God promised us that He would return, and I'm sure His patience is wearing thin as well with the evil that is going on in this country and in this world right now. The evil that's going on around this planet, I'm sure God's patience is wearing thin, especially when people have the audacity to say, this is who we are. This is us. Let's keep on. Let's get worse. Let's get worse, like Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. What manner of persons ought we to be, knowing that these things are coming? We count the promises slack because it hasn't happened in 2021 years, so it's probably not going to happen. Don't do that. Don't think that. While there are so many people who would spend an eternity in hell if the Lord returned today, we hope it doesn't happen until more people can come to know God and obey the gospel. Yet I believe we need to be more aware of the possibility of His return, do all we can to be ready ourselves, so that when He comes, we won't be caught off guard. Don't be caught eating, drinking, marrying, living life as usual. Don't be caught doing the normal things and just bopping along like usual. Be ready always. If you know somebody that's lost, if you know somebody that, if the Lord returned today, if you know someone that would not go to heaven, if you know someone that, if the Lord returned today, they would be cast into that lake of fire, do all you can to show them the gospel. Do all you can to teach them what the Lord what they need to do in order to obey the gospel. Help them to get to know God, so that they won't face that eternal destruction. If you have any need, if you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is what I'm talking about. We must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We also must put Christ on in baptism. That's what puts us into Christ. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.